hope to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a residential school and counseling facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Northwest 400, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 6.01 acres, more or less, lying north of McDowell Road, also known as Route 567, 850 feet east of Hastings Mill Road, also known as Route 568, and 1/2 mile west of Atlanta Road, also referred to as Route 30. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on September 27th of 2007. The applicants did provide us with a large exhibit booklet, which is a part of the record. The opposition, through Tim Willard, attorney, submitted a smaller version in opposition, which is also part of the record. The commission found through the office that the office had received 8 letters in support and petitions containing 61 signatures in support prior to the public hearing, that we had also received 81 letters in opposition and petitions containing 97 signatures in opposition prior to the public hearing. We did give a commissioner report on comments from DLDOT and the county engineering department. Lori Ryder was present with Ken Christianberry of Axiom Engineering LLC and Robin Sturgeon, president of Shadow House of Hope, and gave testimony, which is part of my report, and it's several pages. During the public hearing process, we received 42 letters in support and petitions containing 122 signatures in support. As I said, they were received at or after the public hearing. There were 14 parties that spoke in support of the application, as is summarized in the council's report from the commission. Tim Willard, attorney, gave testimony in opposition on behalf of his clients and also submitted, as I said, the booklet, and also submitted suggested findings of fact recommending denial of the application. There were 17 parties present that spoke in support, in opposition, excuse me, of the application, which is also part of the report. Just for the purpose of finding out how many people were present and with interest, there were 75 parties present by show of hands in support and 66 present in opposition. And again, the commission did defer action on this application. For the record, for the benefit of council information and those parties present, we received 11 additional letters in opposition in the office up till this morning. And gentlemen, that's all I have unless you have questions. I did note that the applicants did provide us another large volume of exhibit booklet, and I've been told that it's got some amendments and has been provided to all the council members for the record.
Mr. Christianberry, will you be presenting the application for the applicant?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Would you like to go ahead?
Kenneth Christianberry, Axiom Engineering, Georgetown, Delaware. Actually, Mr. Rutt with Moore & Rutt will be presenting as well, so I'd like to invite him to the podium.
Okay. Gentlemen, good afternoon. My name is David Rutt with the law firm of Moore & Rutt, and I am here today on behalf of the Shiloh House of Hope regarding conditional use 1702. This is an application for a facility to house a maximum of 48 students in a campus setting on about 6 acres of property. The site plan shows that there are 6 dormitories, a chapel, an administration building, and a school with a dining room and fitness center. It also has the stormwater management and other accompanying requirements. This would be a residential school and counseling center, and it's directed toward teenagers 13 to 18 years old who have problems in their lives, be it with parents, friends, school, and often these children have experienced drug and alcohol problems, abuse, both physical and mental, and they may have had minor brushes with the law, but these are not bad kids. These are kids who need to be refocused, reassured, and redirected, and that's the purpose of this organization. The Shiloh House of Hope is part of a national organization whose emphasis is to provide that need of refocusing through Christian counseling and rigid adherence to the organization's programs. Let me make perfectly clear, this is not a jail. This is not a detention center. It's not affiliated or controlled by the state. Now, you'll hear comments later that that's what this should be. There should be fences with concertina wire and lockdowns and dogs and everything else, but that is not what this is. This is a private, nonprofit 501c3 organization that has very strict criteria for admissions, retention, and graduation from the program. You will hear a lot of information, both pro and con, on the application. And of course, there will be bias on both sides, we know that, but you'll have to sort through that. Let me give you a bit of a roadmap of where you're going to be going today. I'm not going to, per se, present the application. I'm going to act somewhat as the moderator here and work our way through this. You'll hear from Lori Ryder, who is the owner of the property and vice president of the board of Shiloh House of Hope. She'll give you some of the history and background of the local project. You also hear from Robin Sturgeon, who is the president of Shiloh House of Hope. She will explain the educational process, the application process, and how this ties into the national program. You also hear from Ken Christenberry, who is a land planner and engineer, who will explain the site and technical issues. There will be a couple of short videos in the presentation. There was a book of exhibits that I have given to each one of you. This is essentially the same book that was presented to planning and zoning. 99% of it is the same. There are a couple of minor changes, so we have updated that book. Those changes will be noted as we go through the presentation. Primarily, some things that you'll need to look at are the referral system and how students are referred into this program, the comparisons to other facilities. The opposition at the Planning and Zoning Commission tried to paint the picture that this was similar to the Stevenson House in Milford. It's not. That is a Delaware correctional facility. This is not. Also, there was an attempt to show that this was similar to the Seaford House. It is not the same. Also, there was a reference to a facility in Wolford, Maryland. That facility is part of the correctional system in Maryland. That is not what this is. So the distinction is drawn in the book, and you'll hear about it during the course of the presentation. In addition, there is information regarding the educational program. The educational program is the Accelerated Christian Education Program. That program will be registered with the State Board of Education, as are all private school programs. So you will be hearing this information. You'll also be hearing from the opposition, and in this case it's going to be presented primarily by Tim Willard for the opposition, who today is going to be walking on the other side of the street. Normally you see him on the applicant side. Today he's going to be on the opposition side. You also are going to hear from numerous neighbors, and I will comment on that information later, but first I would like to have Mr. Christenberry show you a short video, and then followed by Lori Ryder. Thank you.
Our goal at House of Hope is to reconcile teens with their parents through counseling, education, love, and most importantly, prayer. Counseling and prayer ministry are an important part of the House of Hope program. Counselors are well-equipped to successfully work with teens and families who are wounded emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. In group, they find out they are not alone. They're able to express their feelings, and they understand each other.
I guess when I came here, people actually did tell me I was going to do better. People told me there was hope for me. I'm a lot better with my mom. I'm talking to my dad again, and it's better.
I finally started working on myself and trying to start forgiving myself for what things I've done to people. I'm trying to forgive other people for what they've done to me.
Since I've come to House of Hope, like, I've been delivered from, you know, the fear and the harm and sex and the drugs and, you know, wonder if I'm pregnant and, you know, if I'm going to overdose or if I'm going to die. It's freed me from, like, all the fear.
Hope Academy, our on-campus school, offers a full schedule of English, math, social studies, and physical education in a fully accredited, accelerated Christian education program. Because they are so focused, many have achieved as much as a year in only 6 months.
My grades were horrible, but now that I'm here, like, I'm doing so good at school. It's so scary, like, a second chance of becoming somebody and having an education. I have, like, straight A's and B's here. I'm back home, I don't even have grades.
I've caught up. I'm, like, halfway through 11th grade now. So when I go back, I'll be in my senior year with my friends.
In each house, we have morning devotions and individual quiet times where they can journal and listen to the Lord.
My favorite verse talks about how meditating on God's word will help me not sin against Him.
I live within the shadow of the Almighty, sheltered by the God who is above all gods. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God's faith will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Only God can save me, so I'll calmly wait for Him. This I declare that He alone is my refuge, my place of safety.
They're falling in love with God, who, until recently, many of them had denied. Here in chapel, a lesson is given by one of the boys. He looks into the eyes of his fellow residents, knowing that they can relate. Now he has found joy in living honestly. Now his faith has grown.
This God thing's serious. You know, this is no joke. I always thought it was a fake. And when I finally caught a glimpse of God, He showed me who He was. And He made me show me something that I'll never forget. I'm making progress, you know. I'm getting healed, you know. I'm getting delivered from some things.
The staff work closely with the teens, and they use on-the-job training to teach them responsibility. And the teens take pride in their work. The teens are required to do their daily tasks, each having designated chores. At night, we have prayer time. And yes, we do tuck them in. The streets and institutions don't tuck them in at night, but we do at House of Hope. For 2 hours every Tuesday night, the chapel is filled with counselors from House of Hope and the parents of the residents. Parenting night is all about family. These sessions include worship, testimonies, teaching, and small group discussions led by a counselor. The real energy of the evening is when parents share helpful support with each other.
Their counseling program here, all the parents are involved. You can't just drop your child off and let them deal with the issues.
I thought it would be all about him. It's not all about him. It's about our whole family.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I'm Lori Ryder, and my address is 2909 McDowell Road. I'm the owner of the property being considered here today. One of the most important things that we would like to accomplish today is to address the valid concerns that are created when a new program like this is being presented. However, many of the concerns have occurred because of the distribution of misinformation, and this has created a great deal of confusion about who will be served by Shiloh House of Hope. A great amount of fear has been created, and I believe that perhaps by listening today, some of those fears could be put to rest. Shiloh House of Hope is a Christ-centered counseling and education center established for the healing of teenagers' lives and the restoration of their families. The typical youth that is served in this program are ages 13 to 18. And the national organization, 13 up to the age of 18. The national organization that our program is modeled after has been restoring families for over 22 years. Shiloh House of Hope is an affiliate of this well-established organization, and one of the many reasons that this program works so well, as you heard testimony in this video, is that the parents are involved. no student is taken into this program without a parent who is concerned for their child and is willing to be a part of the counseling that happens. It is not a program that is mandated by anyone, but it is sought out. It is not a correctional facility. Youth that have a history of serious violent behavior or have any history of being a sexual predator will not be admitted into this program. It is a recovery center that offers teens an opportunity to have a private education while they are counseled in an environment that pours out the love of Jesus Christ and removes them from the peer pressure and the unhealthy relationships that they tend to fall into. The youth will spend anywhere from 7 to 14 months in a residential private school setting under 24-hour supervision by trained teachers, counselors, and pastors. I heard about the National House of Hope at a Women of Faith conference more than 6 years ago. As I listened to the founder, Sarah Trollinger, speak, I was moved by her desire to help hurting teenagers and heal their whole families. When one of the graduates from the program spoke, I felt like that teenager was describing my past as she spoke of her own. As a teen, I dangled my toes over an awful lot of places that they probably shouldn't have been, and I've carried some of those burdens for a long time. And if a place like House of Hope had been available as a teenager, I probably could have left an awful lot of that behind and moved forward from it a lot sooner. I knew that this program was an opportunity to reach out in our own community filled with hurting teenagers. However, I did not pursue this ministry at that time. In 2002, I was faced with the reality that my own marriage was falling apart and that my husband was filing for divorce. My livelihood had always been farming, and I feared that I would have to leave the farm that my kids and I had called home.
Too many.
God in his grace allowed us to hang on to the whole farm, and I felt very strongly that since this had been a healing ground for my children and I, that we would like the opportunity to share a portion of it with the hurting families in our area. I had discussed many ideas of how this piece of property could be used, but the idea of House of Hope kept returning to me. 2 years ago, by God incident, I heard that Robin Sturgeon and Robin's husband Mike were at a House of Hope conference in Orlando, Florida. They were there learning more about the House of Hope program and how to start one here in Sussex County. One of the biggest hurdles would most likely be finding property for such a thing. I had property that was available, and I had an interest in the House of Hope already. When Mike and Robin returned from Orlando, we met, and our desire and our vision for reaching out to a generation of hurting teenagers was the same. With a great deal of prayer and time spent learning about this program, I felt that this would be a great way to use a portion of our property. The youth that this program is designed to help need a peaceful setting with an atmosphere that feels like home, not an institution. I have three children, two boys that are 16 and 17, and one girl who is 10, and our whole family embraces this project. I'm on the executive board, and I know that this is not a program that will endanger the safety of my own children that will be living right there in a house behind the project, and I know it will not be a danger to the neighbors. I would be very comfortable knowing that the neighbors in my front yard are seeking help for the issues that they're struggling with. They are already spending time riding buses with my kids. There are kids who are in need of a program like this walking the halls with our schools already. I think that if we're honest with ourselves, we each know a family that could use this program. We need to set aside our fears of the worst thing that can happen and reach out and do what is right by being helpful to our communities. In a moment, Robin will share some staggering facts about the hurt and pain that exists in today's generation. Houses of Hope around the country are working to teach this generation that there are safe and productive ways to handle their life struggles, and there are loving people with a faith in God and a love for them that are willing to help. House of Hope teaches teens that there is a hope for them. It teaches them that in a desperate place, you can call out to someone, you can call out to God for help. Their list of choices for lessening their pain, the pain that they feel, their choices become healthier in solving those and working with them. Running away, masking it with drugs or alcohol, or attempting suicide are no longer their considered options. House of Hope will help create a generation of productive citizens with an awareness that caring for the needs around you builds great communities. Shiloh House of Hope would use the National House of Hope program as a guideline to establish our program. We are held accountable to them and report quarterly to them about everything from the staff, the student successes and challenges, and our budgets and finances. National House of Hope discourages us from building any building with borrowed funds. Scholarships and grants are available for our project through National House of Hope as well as many other avenues. As affiliates of National House of Hope, we are required to attend training that is offered by them at their headquarters as well as brought to us. There are opportunities on their campus quarterly as well as an area representative who will travel. This way, house staff, teachers, counselors, and are trained consistently with the program. Shiloh will also have training for volunteers and other staff members that will have any responsibilities concerning direct contact with the students. Shiloh House of Hope would serve youth who are struggling to connect with friends in school or even their own family members. At some point in their life, perhaps they have had a traumatic experience happen with which has caused them to withdraw or react in an unhealthy way. Some are just tormented by the many temptations that surround this generation. The students that will be considered for the program must have a parent or guardian that are willing to be a part of the counseling. It is essential that as the life of this youth is being transformed and healed, that they know that they will return to a changed family as well. Though we are seeing lives changed in the non-residential program that is currently taking place in the town of Bridgeville, a residential program allows for closer monitoring and progress that happens daily with less backsliding. Robin will speak more about our current non-residential program. The residential program would allow the team to be completely removed from the temptations of pornography, alcohol abuse, drugs, and sex. When they're in their most depressed place, the residential program would allow them to be immediately surrounded by trained counselors who will lift them up in prayer. They will also be brought back up to speed in their school. Many of them have become delinquent or have suffered poor grades. With one-on-one interaction in the school, many of them are brought up to speed or even past their grade level as they return back to their home schools. These negative distractions are all removed, which allows them to move forward with loving encouragement. The program is divided into phases with a very strict daily regimen and schedule. They will arrive with a limited amount of personal possessions. There will be no more than 8 teens in a home at night, and they will be supervised by at least one adult at all times. If at some point one of the students leaves the property without permission, a response plan will be in place. After speaking with Captain Nolte at the State Police Headquarters in Bridgeville, they would be glad to help us establish an appropriate response plan, which would include notification of the neighbors in the area. A reverse 911 calling system is possibly one of the options they would consider recommending. Each home on campus will have a fire alarm and security system on all doors and windows. The students will follow their daily schedule, which consists of assigned shower times, chores, daily devotionals, prayer, classroom time, activities, meals, Bible study, worship, group counseling, and individual counseling. Parents are the only visitors that the students will be allowed to have during their stay at Shiloh. During later phases, passes to visit home on weekends may be earned by the students. A parent will come and pick their child up. Students will not have any vehicle of any kind on the campus. The only traffic that will be created is by the staff, the weekly visits by parents, and counseling sessions that the parents will attend, and delivery of supplies and food will also occur weekly. As I considered offering property for this project, I knew that there would be concerns. This land is farmland. It's not great farmland. I realized that it is heavily hunted. My family has never felt in danger where we live currently on the same piece of property during hunting season. And I would hope that Shiloh, students at Shiloh, would be able to feel just as safe as my family has. I originally offered 5.5 acres that sits directly in front of my own home, and it is surrounded on all three sides by my own land. The surveyor recommended increasing it to 6 acres for a variety of reasons, one of which was so that it could be pushed back and buffered by evergreens between McDowell Road and the Shiloh property. As the lot increased to 6 acres, it was recommended that the recommendation was also made to put a price on the extra 0.5 acre, and I used the rate of a 1 acre lot at the time and split it in half. I was told that this would help hold property values around Shiloh for the sake of comparable sales. In a few years, passersby will not even see the beautiful campus that sits there. And it would be a joy and privilege for my family to share this piece of property with the families that have the opportunity to come and go from Shiloh. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Robin Sturgeon, president of Shiloh House of Hope. I reside at 9692 Middle Ford Road, Seaford, Delaware. I would like to give you some more information about the program and try to answer a few more concerns that we've been aware of. First of all, Shiloh House of Hope is a Christ-centered, non-denominational, not-for-profit residential school and counseling program to help hurting teens and their families receive healing and restoration. The goal at House of Hope is to fulfill the last verse of the Old Testament, Malachi 4:6, which is to return the hearts of the fathers and mothers to the children, and the hearts of the children back to the fathers and mothers. As you can see on our website, we have a 4-member executive board and a 6-member board of directors. We also have our statement of faith presented on our website as well. Again, Shiloh House of Hope is a home for hurting teens. It's not a detention center or a corrections facility. It's not a place where they serve time through consequence of behavior. It's a place of healing and not a holding place. And it's not just about healing the teen, but it's about restoration of the family. We would like to show you the referrals page, which has been updated in your new binder. On there, it clearly states whom Shiloh House of Hope will only accept and will not accept. The applicants whose parents or guardians have committed to participating in weekly counseling sessions and activities, and also during the residential program, parents must also commit to individual counseling as well. The applicants who agree to follow Shiloh House of Hope policies, and applicants who live within the Delmarva Peninsula. We have no need to serve any applicants from surrounding cities. There is an affiliate House of Hope in Silver Spring, Maryland. There is also one in York, Pennsylvania, and one right outside of Philadelphia that could serve the Philadelphia-Wilmington area. We currently have been operating in a non-residential counseling format. All of the families have been from Sussex County, the majority from Western Sussex County. Shiloh House of Hope will not accept applicants who have been convicted of a crime involving serious physical injury as defined in Chapter 11, Delaware Code, Section 222, Subchapter 24. That also is listed in your binder. We will not accept applicants convicted or adjudicated of a violent felony under the 11th Delaware Code, Chapter, Section 4201C. Without full board review and unanimous approval. Again, the rest of those are listed there. Lori mentioned a few of those when she was up here as well. During this process, there have been a lot of concerns about how we compare to area facilities. I would say we contrast to a lot of those facilities. Again, we do not take any state or government funding. Therefore, court orders may be referred, but we do not need to take any court-ordered team. Each referral must go through the application process, and the family must commit to being a part of the program and meeting the requirements there. Again, I would like to emphasize that this program is not just there for the teens. It's there to help parents who have tried everything in their own power and are seeking support. As you can see projected up there, these are some of the intake folder documents that must be provided upon intake for the residential program. They are in the referrals and intake section of your binder. To address some of the concerns about the houses and security, the houses will have a staff room. There will be house staff with the students at all times while they're in the house, and a schedule of the house staff and their duties is also in your binder. The bedroom in between the resident rooms, they will have one-way mirrored windows to be able to keep an eye on the teens at any time. The staffing, we would like to exceed some of the Delaware child care licensing regulations according to Delacare. The ratio that they recommend for a residential facility is 1 to 12, and on overnight, that one staff member may be sleeping. All that they require is that there be someone within a half hour's driving distance to be able to come in case something arises and we need extra assistance. Our ratio will be 1 to 8, and we will have an awake person on staff throughout the night that has zero driving distance in case anything arises. The training of the staff, they will be trained through the program of National House of Hope. There will be on-site training in Orlando. We have regular staff meetings and professional development, which will also exceed the child care licensing request of at least 40 hours training. The security system, there are details on the security system that have been added to the back of the binder, the Honeywell system. And as Lori mentioned, many of the residents here at House of Hope are already in our public schools. And there are not fences around our public or private schools. And it is trusted that the security of the school systems is sufficient to help protect those around them, and we just ask that we would like to take extra measures in the security of the residents at House of Hope, not only for their safety, but for the safety of others. Lori also touched on the daily schedule. The students there have a pretty tight schedule. They will be monitored at all times. They will be walked over to the school where they will be with the teachers when they have counseling sessions. They will be with the counselor. Any free time will be with trained staff and or volunteers. There is also a separation of boys and girls in the program. They are not to interact. The time that they will interact or come in any type of contact or contact with one another is during chapel times or when they are taken to area youth groups. If they have a drama that they are presenting, that both need to be put together. The education program is the Accelerated Christian Education Program, and that is currently being used in 5 other Christian schools in the state of Delaware. It is also accepted as a curriculum among national colleges and local regional colleges such as Dell State, West Point, Johns Hopkins, Harvard, Stanford. So this is a curriculum that will keep the student on pace, help them catch up, get on target. We will also like to exceed and make sure that each student there is prepared to go back into the public school system. If they are a sophomore, they will be prepared for the Delaware Student Testing Program as well. And there will be elective courses added to the program to make sure that the student is fully prepared to return back to their home school. Currently, there are 8 Houses of Hope that are able to run a residential program. Susquehanna Valley House of Hope is the closest House of Hope near us. They are north of Harrisburg. They are rural House of Hope, and information and a location of the House of Hope and each residential House of Hope is also has been added to your binder. They have 5 girls residential. As you can see, they opened in January of 06. And I would like to add to the record, I would like to read a letter from one of the neighbors of the Susquehanna Valley House of Hope, which is also added in this letter, and actually a picture of the gentleman also is placed behind the Susquehanna Valley map in your binder. To whom it may concern, this letter is in reference to my personal experience with the Susquehanna Valley House of Hope. In the beginning, I was a little concerned that there might be things about the House of Hope that would be trouble for the area. Since I live 2 miles down the road from the House of Hope property, I thought these things might affect me and my family. My main concern was that teenagers would be accepted into the program from outside our area, mainly large cities. That issue was discussed at our local township meeting, and it was decided that teenagers would only be accepted from the 5-county area, including Snyder, Union, Northumberland, Columbia, and Montour counties. As time went on and I was able to meet the staff and girls, I wanted to become involved in the program. I started volunteering my time about 6 months after the doors opened. I've done many different things to volunteer. I've taken their vehicle for service, bought presents for the staff and girls for Christmas, and donated many homegrown and baked goodies to them. Since the House of Hope has opened their doors in January of 2006, the general consensus seems to be positive. Sincerely, Donald Clark, Catawissa, Pennsylvania. We do, in obedience to the Word of God, we tithe back to National House of Hope, to which helps other affiliates and pre-affiliates get started. National does give each affiliate a financial stipend to begin. They also provide annual training and regular training for new staff and prospects. House of Hope also offers grants, and we just applied and found out yesterday that we are the recipients of one of those grants. And so they do a lot there at National to help their affiliate Houses of Hope. Shiloh House of Hope was laid on my heart. I was a public educator for 12 years, and I began to see a decline as things around the teenagers' temptations began to arise. And I began to pray about how I was able to help the students that I interacted with daily. I had a student that took his own life, and it was the last thing that I expected from that young man. And I wondered how many more are silently crying out for help, love, and understanding. Shiloh House of Hope is different from other programs because it focuses on the source of all healing, Jesus Christ. Since prayer was taken out of school in 1963, attempted suicide rates have risen over 200%. Violent crime has risen over 560%. Currently, 1 out of 10 teens has been raped, and 40% of teenagers self-mutilate. Our kids are not growing up with the Cleavers and the Cosbys anymore. We have allowed the media to portray alcohol as an escape, sex as an adventure, and violence as a reaction. Television is teaching them it's okay to lie and cheat to stay in the game. And parents are running out of resources to help them. If steps aren't taken and a place is not provided for those seeking help, the trend will just continue to worsen. It is our vision to answer the cry of this generation and begin taking steps to provide hope. A comment was made at the last hearing that it doesn't take a village to raise a child, it takes parents. And Shiloh House of Hope is there to help and support parents that are doing just that. Now we are asking the village to help raise a generation. Why the property on McDowell Road? Well, when my husband and I were at the training in Orlando, that was something we prayed about. And we prayed, Lord, if this is something you would have us do, these are some of our needs. Please show us where you would have us begin this. And it was while I was at the training, I received a phone call. I have heard of Lori Ryder prior to that, but I had never met her before. And the Lord had placed it on her heart and placed it on our heart. So when we returned from Orlando, we met. And while I was in Orlando, I had the vision and was writing the vision down of Shiloh House of Hope. And on that, I had written things such as a farm, because we wanted a place of escape, a place of peace. And I'd even written wood. I saw wooden cabins on the property. And when my husband and I pulled up her lane and saw her wooden house, we were quite amazed, and that we felt that, you know, that was where the property was to be. So I thank you, and Mr. Christenberry is going to go over the site plans with you.
Before we go to the site plan, we have a video from the Orange County Sheriff's Department that addresses some how law enforcement views the Orlando National House of Hope.
Sharky.
Sarah Collins, the founder and president of National House of Hope. There's a war going on in the Middle East, but there's a raging battle in America, and it's called Fighting for America's Teens and Families. The breakdown in the family is a cancer eating at the very roots of our society. We at House of Hope are fulfilling the last verse of the Old Testament, Malachi 4:6, turning the hearts of the fathers and mothers to their children, and the hearts of the children back to the fathers and mothers, lest there be a curse on the land. It's our responsibility as citizens of America to break the curse.
I'm Chief Steve Jones, the Orange County Sheriff's Office. House of Hope Orlando, the national model for over 70 houses of hope across America, has been recognized by President Ronald Reagan in 1985, who personally visited House of Hope in Orlando in 1990. Other stamps of approval included President George Bush and the Point of Light Award by Governor Jeb Bush as the most successful program across America.
Every day, I'm faced with parents crying, won't you please help save my son or daughter? They're rebellious, on drugs, alcohol, sex abuse, pornography, gangs, body mutilation, the occult, and on and on. They're all looking for love in all the wrong places. Hurting teens and parents with no place to go.
House of Hope is highly recognized as a program that heals and reconciles teenagers with their parents. I know of no other incidents of House of Hope's teenagers involved in delinquent acts in the surrounding community. They have been an outstanding partner with the Sheriff's Office and a good neighbor. In a resolution presented on behalf of the citizens of Orange County Mayor Richard Crotty stated that the House of Hope has helped to restore the lives of thousands of teenagers and their families and serves as a national model for other Houses of Hope across the nation. House of Hope will be an asset to your community.
Romans 15:1 says, let us then, who are strong, bear the weaknesses of the weak, not considering ourselves. In Philippians 2:15, it says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, you and I are to be the lifeline, handing out the word to these young people who are going down for the third time. Sir Edmund Burke once said, a sure way for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Let's band together and save this generation. You are vital.
That's in the middle of the city.
Good afternoon. Ken Christenberry again, Axiom Engineering. I'd like to start by just talking a little bit about the property itself. As we have mentioned several times, this is a rural area. This is west of Bridgeville. The property is surrounded by several residences, but largely by agricultural fields and wooded lands. The property, as it stands today, is everything you see here is owned by Ms. Ryder. This is her farm right now. There's several greenhouses. Her home is located right here. This is the property that was subdivided out for the House of Hope. This is another lot that she has retained, I believe, for family members in the future. So that all four sides of the property, well, I'm sorry, three sides, everything except across the road, is owned by her.
The picture is right in the middle of cities.
The site plan consists of two phases. There is a minor subdivision proposed for the project. The residential area consists of a total of six buildings and the chapel. And there is one LPP septic proposed for those facilities. Then the school building and the administrative offices are on a separate parcel with another 2,500 gallon per day LPP septic proposed. In order to file the rezoning, a service level evaluation request was filed with the Department of Transportation, and the findings of that was that no traffic impact study was recommended for a project of this nature due to the limited traffic to be generated. The two areas shown on the site plan for LPP septics have been approved by DNRAC for 2,500 gallon per day septic systems. One of the main questions that I think the council is faced with is whether or not they've had similar applications for conditional use at any time. And there are a lot of similarities in regards to whether or not a private school in rural lands has ever come before this body. Both the Cedars Academy, Epworth Christian School, the Jefferson School, Eagles Nest Christian School, Lincoln Christian Tabernacle, and Greenwood Mennonite are all located in AR1 lands with a conditional use. And this is a very similar conditional use in terms of land use. There are additional conditions that the applicant has chosen to place upon themselves in regards to admissions and parental involvement that go above and beyond because they are targeting students from a particular population. But the question of land use has come before this body before and been answered affirmatively regarding the use of rural lands for an educational facility, private educational facility. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Rutt.
You have heard testimony, and you have before you exhibits that demonstrate that this is not a haphazard idea. Rather, this is a project that has significant merit, and I know you'll give it due consideration. The House of Hope is a national organization that has a proven track record of helping teens in trouble get back on track. The campus here is 6 acres, located on Ms. Ryder's farm, surrounded on three sides by her own land. And as you note, her house will be directly adjacent to the campus. And she is a single mother with three children. Surely she would not endanger her own family if she did not think that this was a meritorious and a safe type of activity. Security is a primary question that has been raised by everybody. So we need to look at how that has been addressed. There will be counselors on site 24/7. There will be an alarm and security system. And you have in your booklet a proposal from Aventech, which is a Honeywell system. That's only one. That's not saying that's the one that would be there, but it is an example of the type of system. Under the conditions that are in the booklet, and I'll address those in a little bit more here in a moment, there will be generators at all of the buildings so that if the electricity goes out, the systems and the electricity in the buildings themselves will work. There will be directional lighting. There will be a controlled campus. Someone will be there all the time. The students will not have phones, so there won't be cell phones going off. They can't be calling friends and family. The pre-admission screening is very intensive. When you have an opportunity to look at the book, you will see that there is a very strict intake procedure, as are noted in the proposed conditions. And these proposed conditions are in the first section of the book. There is a very specific reference or condition that no students will be accepted who have caused serious physical injury. Students won't be accepted who have been adjudicated of felonies, with very limited exceptions. A felonies statute is so broad that there are some things that if you look at them, one is abuse of a sports official. And that could even include verbal abuse. So if some kid has an anger issue, the board, if they consider it, might let him in. But 99% of those students are not going to make it. So we have very limited or very strict requirements on who can be admitted. There are also conversations, as has been stated, with the Delaware State Police for a security plan and a reverse 9/11 plan. We don't feel it's really going to be required, but this is to respond to questions that the neighbors have raised, and it's something that Shiloh House of Hope is more than willing to address. The educational curriculum is a proven curriculum. It's used in other private schools, not only in the county, but nationwide, and that is the Accelerated Christian Education System. It will be registered with the State Board of Education. They have already approved it in other schools. There's no reason to believe that would not be approved here. There will be parental involvement. An absolute criteria for admission and retention is the involvement of a parent or guardian. They have to attend a counseling session at least once a week. They have forms that are contained in the book that have to be executed, certifying that they will participate. They also have to agree to go to church each week so that they are part of the overall healing program that is in place here. Now, you'll hear comments in opposition that it's up to the parents who raise the children, and they're the ones who should discipline that. But I think we can all agree that at times events occur in a person's life where there might be a disconnect between the child and the parent. A parent may have to work two jobs. A parent may go through a divorce situation, and the child sometimes gets left in the wake. What Shiloh is attempting to do is reconnect that parent with the child to overcome the problems that a child may be experiencing in that particular situation. There will be Christian counseling, daily devotions and prayers, Bible reading. Again, the parents have to agree to participate. Now, you'll hear comments to the effect that we're Christians too, but we don't want this in our backyard. That's a typical comment of anything new. People don't want to see change. They don't want things in their own backyard. We're not doubting faith or conviction of anybody here. But what we're saying is give these people a chance, give the children a chance, and let them be the next generation. And I know it's hard for all of us to do, but put yourself in the position of Jesus. What would he do? Where would he be? Fire protection. The alarm system also has a fire protection system involved. We also have on site two stormwater ponds. One of them will be a wet pond. It will have dry hydrants that can be used for fire protection, and that will be available not only for the school and the campus, but will also be available for the fire companies to use in the area. If there's a fire that they need to fight and they don't have other resources, or if they do have other resources, they can come and draw water out of this pond. And of course, all these facilities have to meet fire marshal approvals. The staff is going to be trained and educated. They will undergo specific training through the National House of Hope. There will be no linkage to the state of Delaware or the county or anybody else except for obtaining permits. There will not be a this will not be a referral agency for the state courts, and it will not be a contract facility. One of the specific comment or conditions that has been placed in here is that it will not solicit or accept governmental contracts to service the corrections, penal, or law enforcement agencies. So this isn't somewhere where family court can make a referral. That is not what this is about. Now, you will hear about a facility in Wolford, Maryland. That is totally an opposite from what we have pending here today. That's a facility that is a Maryland detention facility where the courts can make referrals. The information that you'll hear about that facility is not relevant to the application now pending. You also will hear comments, as I had previously noted, about Stevenson House, Seaford House. They don't apply. Now, Mr. Willard will tell you, and I'm going to comment on some of the things that he commented on at Planning and Zoning, since this is my opportunity. He will tell you that this does not belong in this area because it's not compatible. He will try to make the link between this and detention facilities. Yes, there is security, but that security, you have to consider, these are teenagers who are being placed into the custody and control of this school. So there has to be some security on their behalf. As a custodian, the Shiloh House of Hope is charged with making sure that these children are safe. So the security is for everybody involved. Again, there's no court referrals. You'll hear that this is far from emergency responses. However, there's a lot of areas in Sussex County that is as far away from a police department, from a fire department, as this is. And frankly, it's not far from Seaford, where you have a hospital. It's not far from the state police, which is about 8 miles away in Bridgeville. The intent here is to rescue children before they get to the point of having to go to one of these facilities I mentioned. Now, you'll also hear comments about other houses of hope and their location. However, we don't know what the circumstances of where those facilities are located. Some are located in a city setting, such as the one in Orlando, the one in Kansas City. However, you've seen that the one in Pennsylvania and Susquehanna is out in the country. We don't know on what basis the commissions that made the recommendations there had to make the judgment and had to make the decision. So they vary from place to place. You have to decide it on your own record. You'll hear that there are runaways. We've told you that there will be a security system, but we don't know the circumstances of what runaways are in other facilities, what type of security the other facilities may have. We don't know what type of child they may be taking in. We have an idea of the model, but we have formed our own model of the type of child that we will be bringing into this program. So you can't rely on the hearsay of what happened in a city 1,000 miles away as to what is here and what is in place and what are the recommendations and what steps has this organization and this applicant taken. And it's not necessary that a child be in a situation like this to decide to run away. I think we all know and have had contact with someone whose child may have taken off for a day or two and come back. So that's not something that really is a criteria before you. You'll hear about the type of facility. Some facilities should be more of a lockdown facility. Some facilities should have more types of security. Again, we don't know what those facilities are. We don't know where they are. A facility that's located in an inner city probably needs a little more security than a facility that's located in a country setting, because people will go not only out but in that type of thing. You don't know what staff constraints there are at these other facilities. Again, you have to judge it on the record that's before you. Mr. Willard will tell you that this is not permitted because this is in a state facilities level number 4. But I will point out where in your own code this can be approved. Mr. Willard will also make a comment about the National House of Hope being the, quote, mothership. I think he used that term four or five times. That's a very poor analogy. And I'm going to go on record as saying that. These children are not space aliens. And that's the connotation that went through everybody's mind when I made that comment. These are kids who are in trouble, who have need of help, and this organization is trying to help them. The National House of Hope is the national headquarters. It's not the mothership. Now, concerns will be raised regarding the effect on sewer and water runoff. There are two large disposal areas under the DENREC permit. It's been approved. It will clean the water before discharge. There are two stormwater ponds, and there is a tax ditch. You'll hear questions about hunting. This site is a 6-acre parcel solely within Mrs. Ryder's farm. It should not affect hunters who shouldn't be on that property as it is. That is her own property. People shouldn't be out there hunting and shooting across it. So they shouldn't be there now. They shouldn't be there in the future. So the hunting is a two-way street. Hunters have an obligation to know what they are shooting at before they shoot. And frankly, the 6 acres being carved out should not affect hunting rights of anyone in that area, nor the ability of the residents to go hunting in that area. Now, there were comments made during the prior hearing that retired people had moved here and that many people were in the area who were elderly. This is not going to be a noisy or dusty place. It will be screened. It will be there will be security. A comment was made, and I'm going to paraphrase this, that the elderly have the right to, or deserve to live in peace in their older years. And I guess that begs the question, don't the children have a right to live in peace in their formative years? These are children who have some problems. They need to find peace. Let them find it. The question was also asked, what if the school fails? And that's a legitimate question. The contract that's in the booklet has a reverter that says that in the event of failure, this property will go back to Mrs. Ryder. That will come back to her. The other question was, what about the buildings that are on the site? Well, they would either have to be moved or for something else to occur on that site, she or whoever else would own the property at the time would have to come back before one of the county commissions or boards or this council. She could not just start up something else out there. There would have to be a reapproval of whatever is on site. So whatever use of the property that's made under this condition would be extinguished. There's also been comments about people who were new to the area. People who said they moved here because it is a quiet area and it's the way it is. Unfortunately, we all know that Sussex County has been changing. And you can't have the same thing forever. It is going to change. There's also questions raised about traffic. DLDOT did not require a traffic impact study. In fact, they did not believe that this would have any impact at all. The students will have no vehicles. The counselors will come and go before their shifts. The parents will be there one day a week. There will be no other visitors, and deliveries and trash will be maybe one or two trucks a week. It's not going to be a high traffic area. If you were to build chicken houses on this site, you would have chicken trucks coming in. You would have feed trucks coming in. You'd have supply trucks coming in. The impact is really not that much different. Now, this is a conditional use, and under section 115.22 of your ordinance, there are three sub-paragraphs that would permit this type or permit you to grant this type of conditional use. In an AR1 district, you can have institutions, educational or philanthropic, including museums, art galleries, and libraries. The ordinance does not define what an institution is, but Mr. Webster has helped us out and has defined it as an organization, especially one dedicated to public service or the buildings of such an organization. So you have an organization here that is providing a service to the county of an educational and philanthropic basis. Secondly, you have a condition or a subparagraph that says that you can permit public or governmental buildings and uses, including schools, parks, parkways, playgrounds, and public boat landings. Now, Mr. Willard will tell you schools are not permitted under Level 4. They may not be under the state, but under your ordinance, schools are permitted in an AR1 district. And then you have the what we call the catch-all provision, residential, business, commercial, or industrial uses, when the purposes of this chapter are more fully met by issuing a conditional use permit. So we have a situation here where you could use that as a basis for approval. An actual permitted use in an AR1 district will also fit within this criteria. There will be a church, a chapel on this site, and that is a permitted use under AR1. Now, it doesn't cover the entire usage, but it does cover part of it. Under your Article 24, conditional uses, the purpose of the article is to provide for certain uses which cannot be well adjusted to their environment in particular locations with full protection offered to surrounding properties by rigid application of the district regulations. We submit that this application fits into that criteria. This is a use that may not fit into the AR1 district by rigid application of the regulations, but it is a use that is semi-public in character in that it provides a service to the residents of Sussex County who have children that require a level of attention not found elsewhere, and thus is desirable for both the general convenience and the welfare of the citizens. It's important to the county as a whole. You need to look beyond the 1 and 2 mile radius of the location. You need to look at what is being proposed here. Section 115.22 allows the council to grant the conditional uses, as I've already explained. The applicant has recognized that there are concerns and has addressed these concerns through the proposed conditions and through its outreach to the state police, to local churches, and to the communities. Now, there's always a fear factor of something new. What the House of Hope is asking for is a chance, and they ask the neighbors to embrace this and to allow this to move forward and to help the kids in this county. Thank you. I'm sure you have questions for any one of us.
And I believe it would be appropriate to ask the council if you got any questions for Mr. Rudd or Mr. Christianberry or Robin or Lori at this time, Mr. Cole.
I noticed when I looked at these other schools that you cited, Orlando, one in Michigan, Minnesota, Danville, Kansas, and others. The one in Orlando shows 34 girls, 16 boys, and it's in an urban setting. It looks like it's, you know, when I looked at the Google map, it shows, I don't know, just looks like it's the middle of a city almost. And then I go down and see these others, and you cited the one in Danville, Pennsylvania. How long has the Danville, Pennsylvania House of Hope been in existence?
I need to identify myself again.
Say your name, yeah. Say your
Robin
name.
Sturgeon.
Yeah.
Danville opened residentially in January of 06. The national initiative, the founder of House of Hope began a national initiative in 2001. And that's when a large number of other Houses of Hope began to go through the procedure to open. The only one that opened prior to that is the one in Michigan, House of Hope.
And what do they, okay, on that one, for instance, this one, if you're familiar with it at all, what is their, what are they going to, how many children are they going to eventually accommodate? Because I only see 5.
Right now, all they have is one house. and so they can only operate one sex, and how many will be in that.
Tell me what they've been, I mean, are you familiar with what they've been approved for in this rural setting?
That I do not know what their maximum expectations
are. Okay, because when I looked through all of them, the only one that showed it had a large number of children was the Orlando site, which was in a metropolitan urban setting. And I went through the rest of them, and I saw in Kansas there was one with 3 residents, 5 non-residents, the other one 5. So they look like awful small operations. And then we come to Sussex County, and you're proposing 48 students, and it also showed how far they were from police and everything. And it shows, for Sussex County, we're 7 to 10 miles from emergency services and things like that. So it seems like we're proposing something awfully large.
And this is a proposition of maximum over time.
Well, in a setting, I'm saying, and also in a setting that is not similar, except to this one in Danville, is the only one I could find that was similar to that rural setting. So that was just an issue that I thought was interesting, and whether maybe it is an appropriate land use.
Mm-hmm.
And David, on your conditions, I looked through a bunch of the conditions. A lot of them, I don't know if we can. Is it something the county council wants to be enforcing? Is basically the governing policies of the school and what kind of students they accept. I mean, we can't enforce that stuff, and we don't ever intend to, probably. Staff being subject to criminal backgrounds. Those are the kind of conditions I just don't think are enforceable by this group. And I'm concerned that they need to be rewritten in a sense that something we could address.
Well, let me address that. If, say, there was a citation by the state fire marshal that the buildings did not have adequate fire protection systems, that's the type of thing that I assume the county would be aware of or could be made aware of. And if that's the case, then you have a violation of the conditions.
Right, okay, well, but you wouldn't get any certificates of occupancy if you didn't have those agencies signing off on them. So those are typical, but I understand.
Right.
But some of the background checks and whether the students come from this place or that place, again, I don't think Sussex County Council wants to be out there checking IDs and finding out where everybody comes from. So I think some of the stuff in there are things that we shouldn't even be concerned about. I got some other notes here. Let's see. State of Delaware, we've had problems. David or the architect here, engineer. State of Delaware has given us a lot of times many issues or concerned with our locating schools outside of the development district, and this one is also. And I think some of the other schools you did show from your the private schools around the county, many of them are associated with existing church facilities that have been there for a long time. I think 2 of them maybe were not. But it looked like the majority of them, like Epworth, and I think Jefferson and maybe Cedar aren't associated with any existing church facility.
Nest Church was approved at the same time as the school.
Okay, that's a rare one. Okay, that's one of the.
About half of them.
But we've had problems with, I think it was Cape Penelope Middle School. The state of Delaware, if I'm not mistaken, had didn't like the idea that it was out beyond this development district or something at one time. It was beyond
state money.
And the one in Bridgeville, when we were just talking the other day, we were looking at this map, and we're trying to do a dog leg out to bring in a piece of ground that may bring it into a development district. So I'm just wondering, the state of Delaware doesn't like state schools outside of development districts, and this is also outside.
Sussex Central?
Sussex Central's outside. I know, but there were concerns, if I'm not mistaken. Am I wrong? Weren't there concerns about these schools being placed outside of development districts?
The sewer was Sussex Central.
My understanding of the concerns in those situations are because of the size of the school. I mean, you'll have a school with 600-700
right.
children. That's not the situation here, and there has already been site evaluations approved for the size of this facility.
Right, and you did state that with the conditional use process that, you know, if this school failed, it would, you know, don't worry about it. But the trouble is, it's an approval for a school. So there could always be another school operating there without any new approvals needed.
The land in the contract stated that it will revert back to Lori Byer
in that situation. We don't. Again, it's the land use. We don't worry about contracts too much, Jim. Is it the contract that they have?
You could impose a condition that if this operation failed,
that's what I was trying to put
no successor would be allowed to
maintain,
take its place without subsequent approval.
Okay.
Right.
That works for me.
Okay. That's okay. I didn't know if we've done something like that.
Your conditional use would be required?
Yeah. Right.
That's fine.
There's no change of zone. It's conditional use.
Right.
All right, no, I just that's about all. I just some issues that popped up as I was listening.
Mr. Rogers, comments?
I just want to keep on keeping moving.
Mr. Jones?
I got just a couple. And part of them are already answered, but when I look through the book, because it's difficult trying to listen and look through the book, but it said, I could see the phasing, so that answered one of my questions that you said hopefully by 2000, if it's approved, then 2000, you'll have one or two homes, and I guess the church, is it?
Yes. We currently in the non-residential program have 5 males and 4 females, yeah. And so, you know, as we were trying to determine what to begin in the residential, we see that we have the need for both. So we would like to begin with one house of each and the chapel, which on the print has some office space in the back to do counseling and where we can begin with until further funds come in.
Okay, and then I also, you know, reading through it in your presentation, you said one leader or one counselor per 8 students. Is that correct? And that's it.
That is the house staff ratio, 1 house staff per 8, since the house can hold 8 residents.
Okay.
The counselor, we like to have our counselors counsel the families, and we would like no more than 6 families per counselor.
Okay. Besides that, okay, like I realize the counselor stays with the kids. Or the students, when they sleep, they stay overnight. Is that
the house
correct?
Staff does, yes.
Yeah, the house staff, right. Or maybe I'm saying it wrong, I guess, the house staff. And then counselors, and you have one person on staff, like at nighttime, beyond, besides
the
number of houses?
House staff, yes.
Okay. And then I also reading through the background check and the way you have the contract set up. And then you said the parents are required and there are weekly visit to the site.
There are weekly parenting classes. And once a student hits the first phase, once they're out of orientation phase, they may meet with a parent prior to that class. The parent must also undergo or go through individual counseling as well, in which situation they learn how to help their teenager in that particular private situation.
And they're required once a week? Is that what yes. You're saying? And that could be, is that on weekends, I guess, or whatever is convenient for the parents?
That's between the parent and the counselor due to okay. Schedules, yes.
The only other thing that's always that you said that possibly that there would be up to 8 students or 8 children, kids, in this particular, in each house.
Right.
I only saw 4 beds. Are they double beds? Or are they, I was trying to figure that out. How that
there
work,
are
you
some
know.
Bunk beds,
bunk
but there's
beds
enough
and,
space.
Okay.
Yes, our architect
okay.
Made enough space.
I was sitting there saying, okay, that 4 times, you know, that's cool. I mean.
But they don't bring much in with them, so they have minimal, like they have a drawer and
right.
A piece of a closet.
Right, I do understand what the
which
presentation
is. Gone through by the house staff daily.
Right. Okay. At this time, that's all, I mean, I certainly, it's very difficult, though, I mean, to listen and to look at the book. And thank you, Mr. Duke.
Mr. Phillips? Yeah, the disadvantage of being the last one to speak, they ask the questions before they get to me, but I guess the only one that I, question that I had that's not, I don't have an answer or haven't heard it, is the, what do you call them, the person that stays there at night?
Administrator.
House staff.
You have one in each dormitory?
One in each, yes.
In each dorm, and they're supposedly awake all night?
No, that one is permitted to sleep. There is one extra one on site that will be awake, and that's to exceed the Delicare codes, the Delaware Child Care Licensing. That doesn't require that, but we would prefer that, and we thought it might help others feel more comfortable about the program.
Okay, and I've heard that, you know, the letters of opposition that we've got, you know, about the students are coming, they've been incarcerated, but none of these will have been incarcerated when they come there?
They will not be, under the code, it's a felony or serious physical injury, which those are incarcerations, and we will not accept those.
But some could be accepted that have been incarcerated. Right?
If they were... You can have an incarceration for a minor misdemeanor.
Okay, well, the question
is... overnight, but if it's a long-term adjudication, no, that would not fall within the criteria that's here.
Or the criteria which we can't enforce.
I saw that while I forgot where it was, Mr. Jones. Keep going.
That part, and I hate to, that part that we're talking about, I know it was on the...
intake.
What part, where is it in the book?
It's in the very back.
Intake policies under referrals.
See, it says legal definitions.
Referrals and intakes.
No, intake referrals and procedures. I think under referrals where it says what you will and will not take.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. That's cool.
But then the definitions are in the back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. I do have a question.
Mr. Phillips?
For the attorney, if there was a foster home that had children that had been incarcerated, are there any additional permits that they would need from the county?
For a foster home?
Yeah.
In my understanding of the foster care system is that the foster care parent, has to meet certain criteria, and it's a process through the state Health and Human Services. I'm not really familiar with all of that, but I do, there are children who have been through, been incarcerated that are in foster homes.
I guess that's my trying to understand. Our attorney would say, Jim, does this county require any additional permitting for foster homes that take in troubled teens?
County doesn't.
Okay.
Your land use agency.
They're not taking in 48.
No, they're not.
Okay. I guess one last question. The phasing, you're saying up to a total of 48 sometime. I mean, how quickly are you going to get there if this is approved?
That's a maximum. We see that as a progression, depending on as funding comes in to build to meet the need. I believe in the binder, the final phase, it's a projection of 2013 as an estimate.
Do you know where where the phasing is in here?
Right. The proposed site.
Okay. Proposed site plan?
Right. The very back page.
Okay.
Dale, could I follow up on that a little bit? Just real quick.
Yes, Mr. Cole.
Is there a reason why you chose to go after such a large number? I mean, when I look at Orlando's 34 and you've exceeded that and that's the model, why are you all targeting 48 in this location?
Actually, National, the House of Hope in Orlando, they have 6 homes that can house 48, but they rarely run at maximum. As you can see, sometimes they have a need for more females than males, as they currently do. That is just a projected maximum. We do not anticipate running at that, but it is following that model. That's where that number came from.
I guess my last question is, you're running this program now out in Bridgeville.
Yes.
And how long has it been in operation in Bridgeville?
We've been on the property since October of last year, 2006. We began non-residential counseling in January of this year, 2007.
And you have, you said approximately 5 and 4 9 students?
Currently. We've had a couple of students finish the program and are back, with
the Okay. Homes. All right. Very good. We'll give you a break. Mr. Griffin?
Does that conclude the presentation of the applicants?
Yes, it does.
Thank you. For anyone here who wishes to be heard in support of this application, okay, when you come down, please state your name and your address, and then make your comment.
Hello, my name is Megan McCarthy.